Live from E-Town Hall in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, it's E-Town with this week's musical guests. From Downey, California, Yep Rock recording artist Dave Alvin. And from Austin, Texas, Jimmy Dale Gilmore. I'm Helen Forster. Right now, please join me in welcoming our host, Nick Forster.
Thank you, Helen. Thanks, everybody. Welcome to E-Town Hall, our solar-powered global community music hall. So this is going to be good this week. We have got three people on our show who have shown us over long periods of time what can happen when you just keep making things. Keep being creative, keep being generous. It's a powerful combination, and all three have accomplished a lot. We've got Jimmy Dale Gilmore, Texan born in Amarillo, raised in Lubbock, now living in Austin, who has defied conventional description as a songwriter and singer and even as an actor. He's created a totally original path for himself as an artist. We've got Elaine Hamill, a woodworker from New Hampshire, who decided to teach woodworking skills to underprivileged girls in camps and elsewhere, only to find that that was transformative, both for them and for her. We've got a Southern Californian, a kid from Downey, California, who went on to not only become a powerful force in the Americana music world, but also in the punk scene, and as a writer and producer and touring musician, who also has published 2 volumes of poetry. So these folks are busy, they do a lot, and they've been rewarded for their efforts because they just keep making stuff. So that's what we're gonna get the benefit of this week. To get started, you may know him from the band X, or the Knitters, or the Blasters, or many others. We are very happy to have him here. Would you please welcome back to E-Town our good friend, Dave Alvin.
It's great to be back at E-Town. It's great to see Nick and Helen. And here we go. Just how a rich man feels.
So my darling dear, listen here. Oh, I think that it's fair to warn you that I'll return to claim your hand as the king of California.
Thank you very much. The E-Town Band. This is a song I wrote during another administration, and it might be applicable now. Heard about a Jubilee train. Heard about a Jubilee train. Broadway Eddie was an uptown man, and he never worked a day in his life. When the stocks crashed down, it left him out in the cold. That's when he heard about a Jubilee train. Heard about a Jubilee train. You could just hear the men in the Hooverville, see the poor women cry. Get on board, there's a new deal coming. Get on board, there's a new deal coming. Heard about a Jubilee train. Heard about a Jubilee train. Hometown Jimmy was a family man, and he lived for his children and his wife. When the business fell off, he had to go walk in the streets, cause he heard about a Jubilee train. Heard about a Jubilee train. Betty Jean was a factory girl. She never had another job in her life. When the factory closed down, she had to line up for bread. That's when she heard about a Jubilee train. Heard about a Jubilee train. You can see the men in the Hoovervilles, hear the poor women cry. Get on board, there's a new deal coming. Get on board, there's a new deal coming. Heard about a Jubilee train. Heard about a Jubilee train. young boy by the side of the tracks. And he's alone with the flag in his hand. And he heard a train pass by years ago, and he's waiting on a Jubilee train. Heard about a Jubilee train. You could see the men in the Hoovervilles hit a pole and they cry. Get on board, there's a new deal coming. Get on board, there's a new deal coming. Heard about a Jubilee train. Heard about a Jubilee train.
Dave Alvin, welcome back.
Great to be back.
Good to have you back here at E-Town. It's so good to hear your road-weary voice after all these years with those particular songs.
Well,
it's
thanks.
Pretty cool. And I know it's funny because later on we're going to hear from Jimmy Dale Gilmore, and you guys have been out doing shows together.
Yeah.
And if I were to imagine two voices that would be about as different from each other as could be, that might be you two.
Yeah, the voices are different, but the soul's the same, you know?
Yeah, and the musical roots, you guys must have listened to the same stuff when you were coming up, probably.
Yeah, you know what? Jimmy and I have known each other for 30-some years, but we've never, outside of, like, say, you know, end of the show sing-along kind of things,
right.
We've never just sat down and played guitars together. And the more that we started doing that, the more we started discovering, yeah, that we kind of come from it. Pretty much the same place in many ways, you know. You know, we kind of finger picking pre-war blues and ragtime and hillbilly music, you know.
Right.
And so, like I was saying earlier, it's this tour has become not stump the other guy, but like, hey, you know this one? And then, sure, what key? You know, and then you play it, and maybe you screw it up, maybe you don't, but it's been great. It's kind of liberating, you know.
Well, it's also liberating for the audience, I'm sure, because we are exposed to so much stuff that's pretty well dialed in.
It's my major complaint about modern music is that it's all dialed in.
Yeah.
You know, you see things on TV, and it's all choreographed, right? The dance steps, the lights, everything. And I went to see a particular singer-songwriter, and everything in the show was choreographed. Everything. And we're talking a singer-songwriter show.
Wow.
Like, the guitar player would go to a particular spot to do his guitar solo, and there'd be a spotlight on him, and then he'd have his moment in the sun, then he'd go back into the shadows. And that's great, you know? I think the Temptations did that stuff better, but, you know. But for me, I like things, you know, especially the older I get, the more I like, well, we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Real is a valuable commodity these days. Real is something people need more and more of. Let me ask just a couple of things before we get back to music, because we've got a lot of songs to get to. You have a pretty new record with your brother, Lost Time.
Yeah.
Not as if you haven't been busy, but you and he had lost some time.
Yeah, well, we didn't make music together for just about 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, we were typical brothers. And then my brother had a health scare. He was on tour in Spain, and make a long story short, he died and was dead for somewhere between 10 to 20 minutes. We're not sure. And then
wow.
A beautiful Spanish doctor named Dr. Mariela Cifuentes got on top of him, beat the living crap out of him, brought him back to life. And I've always wanted to do that, so I had to live
through. Too bad you weren't there then.
The Spanish doctor. Oh, I would have. So I get a phone call. I'm sitting in California, and I get a phone call, you know, and they say, your brother passed away. And then, you know, I'm sitting there, and I just you go through the list of regrets. And yeah, I felt bad that we hadn't made some records of what we grew up doing best, you know. And I just thought, well, if he gets out of this, we're going to make some records. So we did. We made two. We made one that the... It was all Big Bill Brunsey songs, and one the most recent one was just various songs that we'd been loving since we were kids, written by everybody from Leroy Carr to
Oscar Brown Jr. to Willie Dixon to James Brown.
You know. Those are some pretty good names.
Yeah, and it's great to have my brother back, I have to say. Yeah. I'm extremely lucky.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool music you guys are making together, again.
Yeah.
I also saw recently a picture of you backstage somewhere with Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
And it made me realize you are one of those guys who has crossed paths with or jammed with or toured with or recorded with so many legendary musicians,
yeah.
many of whom are no longer on the planet.
Yeah.
Are you going to write these stories down someday?
When everybody else is dead. I can mention names. Yeah, you know, I've had some good times, you know. But what was really nice and surreal was Merle Haggard was on this gig. Hmm. So I'm sitting talking with Merle Haggard, then I'm turning around talking to Chuck Berry, and I'm just going, this is a dream, right? This is some surreal dream. So,
wow. Yeah. All right, we'll write those stories down someday.
Yeah.
We'll get somebody to write them down for you. But meanwhile, there's a lot of stuff still going on. And I was just talking in the beginning of the show about, you know, being not just gifted, but also disciplined and hardworking and creative and putting out stuff all the time. And your guy's been prolific for many, many years.
Well, you know, as you say, you just keep going.
Yeah.
You know, our heroes when we were kids, you know, Lightnin' Hopkins or Big Joe Turner or whomever, they went till they died, you know? And so I always get kind of upset with people making fun of the Rolling Stones and things like that. It's like, well, they're just doing what they do.
Right.
Why do we have to stop?
Well, let's do some more.
You got it.
Yeah, you want to get Jimmy Dale out? And
let's get Jimmy Dale Gilmore
right.
out here.
All right.
Yeah, we were talking about my brother, and this is a song that we did on a Big Bill Brunzy record that we recorded. This is a Big Bill Brunzy song called You've Changed. I got a girl in Georgia, one in Mississippi too. Down in Georgia, one in Mississippi too. Until I found out what you New Orleans girls could do. You said your mother was a Creole and an Indian was your dad. You said your mother was a Creole and an Indian was your dad. You know, you gave me a feeling, something I never had. Then you changed, you changed, yeah, baby, you changed, yeah, you changed. You come up here to Chicago, you don't even walk the same. Now since you come to Chicago, you done changed your name. Since you come to Chicago, you done change your name. You change the way you talk. Ain't nothing about you the same. Well, I didn't just know you in Chicago, baby. I knew you down in New Orleans. Yeah, I didn't just know you in Chicago. Knew you down in New Orleans. Yeah, I knew you, baby, when you were eating rice and beans. But then you changed. Change, yeah, you change, yeah, you change. You come up into Chicago, you don't even walk the same. We'll be right back.
Jimmy Dale Gilmore and Dave Alvin. A little help from the E-Tones earlier on. That's Ron Jolly, Don Powers, Chris Engelman. Dave Alvin and Jimmy Dale Gilmore. They'll be back to play a lot more music later on.
Your visit to E-Town is made possible in part by the Bohemian Foundation, building stronger communities through the Bohemian qualities of creativity and imagination. On the web at bohemianfoundation.org. And by Zayo Group, providing communication infrastructure services to the world's leading businesses with its fiber network that powers the voice, data, and video traffic we depend on every day. You can learn more at zayo.com. That's Zayo.com. And by the way, if you're curious about E-Town's home base, where we all are right now, E-Town Hall, our beautiful solar-powered music and arts community center located in downtown Boulder, Colorado, you can learn more about it on our website, etown.org. You're listening to E-Town.
I'm Nick Forster. This is E-Town. Jimmy Dale Gilmore and Dave Alvin are going to be back later on the show to play some more music. Before we do that, though, we are going to do what we do every week. We get to introduce all of you to somebody we got to know with the help of one of our listeners. These are always stories of folks in different communities around the country who are just making things better. We're talking about how these other creative types keep making things well. That's what this piece is all about, too. It's typically people who look around and see an opportunity to make a difference. And unlike most of us, they actually stop and decide to figure out how to do it, how to make something better. We get to recognize them on the air and share their stories with all of you through something called the Achievement Award, as you well know. And here comes Helen to tell you about this week's winner.
Thank you, Nick. Listener Tara Mahady Colty of Sutton, New Hampshire, brought us this week's story about Elaine Hamill, also of New Hampshire. Now, years ago, when Elaine was in her 20s, she was working as a building contractor. She took in a young neighbor girl whose parents were struggling with addiction. She wanted to enroll the girl in a Girl Scout summer camp, but lacked the money to do so. So Elaine offered to teach woodworking in return for the girl's tuition. It turned out all the girls in the camp loved it, and she couldn't help but notice the boost in their confidence from her class. Elaine had found a new passion. She started teaching at-risk girls part-time. She eventually built a large workshop space on her property to house the program. She's been at it full-time now for almost 2 decades, and the program now operates in several schools in New Hampshire and in camps throughout New England. Now, here in person to tell us more about this week's Achievement Award winner from Goffstown, New Hampshire, please welcome Elaine Hamill.
Welcome, Elaine. How are you doing?
I'm great.
Good. Glad you're here. So let me ask you a little more. Helen mentioned the girl who inspired you years ago. How did she come into your life?
I lived in Manchester at the time, and she lived next door with her folks.
Yeah. And her folks had drug addiction problems, and so she was kind of on her own?
Yeah, very much so.
New Hampshire, as I understand it, has one of the highest drug overdose rates, I know, per capita in the country.
It certainly does.
So it's a real issue.
It is very big issue actually right now.
Yeah. And so, but you took this girl in and decided you wanted to help her find her way to summer camp?
I did.
Yeah.
She was I mean, like most kids at 10 or 11, they sort of need a lot of support. And she didn't have it, so we were kind of in the same place. We both needed a little better direction. Mm-hmm. So I think I got just as much out of that experience as she did.
So you found a way to barter your woodworking skills at the camp in order for her to get tuition? Is that how it worked?
I did, yeah. Fortunately, I grew up with five brothers, though I don't recommend it, but it really sort of played a big part in who I became, because I was able to push through so much that existed that I needed to push through to get where I wanted to get.
Yeah. Well, once you had those skills, you offered them to the summer camp, you went up there, you're teaching these other kids. How did they take to it?
Oh, my God. Like an addiction, quite honestly.
Wow.
I mean, but if you think about it, you know, there's data that suggests that in the last 5 years, the increase in brutality toward girls and women in primetime television is up over 100%.
Wow.
Right? Think about that. And so you've got kids that who are unsupervised watching this sort of television. And then you've got, on top of that, you've got commercials saying, you know, you're not pretty enough, so here's some makeup. You're not small enough, so here's a diet. You're not sexy enough, so here's some lingerie. Like, all these messages are just compounding and just pushing them down further and further. And there's a real need out there to build up our girls right now.
Yeah. Helen mentioned you built a workshop at your house so you could do more and, you know, make that gift to more people just beyond the summer camps.
Yeah, I built a barn at my house. They were dropping a barn the next town over, and I pulled the timbers out, and I built a barn.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a bunch of little neighborhood girls help out with the barn, and they actually named it Girls at Work.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so then you've got your barn, you've got your power tools, you got all your stuff and supplies in there, and you start offering classes?
Yeah.
And you're working during this time, right?
Yeah, I'm still contracting. I was doing a lot of residential renovations, but I asked everyone I knew in business what they thought about going down the nonprofit road, and everyone said no. And my life has sort of been one of those against the grain, like anyone says no and I'm all over it. So here we are. And I started in 2000. We started a nonprofit in 2000.
And from your barn and your workshop, you expanded it into schools?
Yeah, we actually moved into the city. We moved into Manchester now, and we work with 21st Century, which is, well, as of today, I think it's still federally funded. It's an after-school. So, it's an after-school program, and so we partner with them, and we work with Title I schools, which are schools with the majority of kids below the poverty level.
Yeah.
So their stories are just horrifying, but we show them what they're made of. We're not getting them in construction. We're not turning them into builders. We're having them reach deep into their core to understand and to experience the power that's in there. Because every little girl we've ever worked with, and we've had over 10,000 girls go through this program, scratch-free. Can someone knock on wood?
Yeah.
Everyone is a force, and they need to know that right now.
What kind of stuff are you making? What kind of stuff are the kids making?
During the school year, they'll build shaker peg boards and benches and bookcases. And in the summer, they graduate to Adirondack chairs, picnic tables. And these girls are 6, 7, 8,
wow,
9, 10. They're little.
Wow.
They're little. We had a group in not too long ago. Most of them didn't have their front teeth. And they built, they were Girl Scouts, and they wanted to build their own cookie booth. So the parents left them. And we send the parents, because the parents can't stay for a million reasons. But that's where my gray hair comes from. But the parents leave, and then the parents come back, and they all have their own little cordless screw gun, and they're going to town, and the parents are just frozen and just,
wow.
Wait, that's a tool?
Wow. And what about the materials? Where do you get the wood for all these things?
We repurpose any piece of wood we get our hands on. We pick up 60 pallets, heat-treated pallets, every other week, and we cut them apart. We use tons of different donations. We use all sorts of repurposed barn board. You name it, we'll use it.
So if you're in schools, and you said these Title I schools where you're predominantly disadvantaged kids below the poverty line, the teachers must have a sense of what this kind of activity does for the kids, right?
They sure do. And the confidence that they're gaining in these workshops is now spilling over into a classroom setting. And so these girls that are feeling like failures, right, because they're in survival mode, now they've got a picnic table at their school, and they built it.
Wow.
It's a big deal, because when you take a little girl who can't even make eye contact, and then you can't turn her off because she's so fired up about who she is because of what she just did, it's a really big deal.
That's really cool.
You know, when you're living with grandparents who don't want you because your mom's in prison, or you're living in situations that are just so incredibly damaging. You got to surround yourself with anything that reminds you that there's more to who you are than what you hear.
Yeah, I heard you mention it, but how many kids have gone through already so far?
Oh, we've had over 10,000 go through this program.
Over 10,000 girls.
Yeah.
And it's growing.
Sure is.
Yeah. I suspect there is a website if people want to learn more or see pictures or videos of what's going on.
Yes, it's girlswork.org.
Girlswork.org.
Yes, don't put the at in there because you're not going to be happy with what comes up.
Okay.
Yeah. But we're standing proud with girlswork.org.
Girlswork.org. Be careful. and learn more. And if there's ways that any of us can support you in your effort, it just sounds like a great program, great story, and you're making such a big difference for so many.
Thanks so much for having me here.
Well, congratulations. It's Elaine Hamel, winner of this week's Achievement Award. The organization is called Girls at Work. Here's a framed Achievement Award certificate. Congratulations, Elaine.
Many thanks to listener Tara Mahady-Colty for this great story. And, you know, it didn't get mentioned, but I have to say, even though most of the girls keep their pieces of furniture as a totem, if you will, they've built tens of thousands of pieces of furniture, as you can imagine. And Elaine told me backstage that several hundred pieces have been given to places like women's shelters and homeless shelters, and they've even built lockers in homeless shelters, so people who have no place to go and no place to store their things now have a safe place to do so with dignity. So it's a great learning experience for these kids. Very, very empowering for these young girls. If you just tuned in, by the way, and you're curious as to what the heck I'm talking about, you can find this interview again on our website and listen to it. Our website is etown.org. You can learn about some of our other award winners there, too, and you can also nominate someone for the award as well. Finally, let us know what you think about the show, either by email at info@etown.org or our website if you like, or you can try us the old-fashioned way, which is writing us at Box 954, Boulder, Colorado, 80306.
Thank you, Helen. Thanks, Elaine. That was a great story, making a huge difference. We've got more music coming up from Dave Alvin, but right now, of course, Jimmy Dale Gilmore, as I said before, was born in the Texas Panhandle, raised in Lubbock. Lives in Austin. He was named after the father of country music, Jimmy Rogers, the singing brakeman, because his dad loved classic country singers. Jimmy's had a remarkable journey so far, one that included being founding member of the group called the Flatlanders, along with Butch Hancock and Joe Ely. He went on a spiritual journey, as he said before, to kind of find himself in the 70s, and went on a wilder journey to kind of lose himself in the 80s. And he's certainly well known in many circles for his brief appearance in the film The Big Lebowski as Smokey, the bowling pacifist. As a and of course we were in a band Lothos many years ago, and I was not, I must admit, I was not really prepared when we first met for Jimmy's tenor voice, but when I heard him sing a Hank Williams song, it all fell into place, and it made sense, and I've come to really love his singing voice. And I think he's a better singer now than he's ever been, really, to tell you the truth. Now that he's in his 70s, he's a better singer than he was in the 70s. But please welcome back, if you would, Jimmy Dale Gilmore.
Well, it's wonderful to be here on E-Town again. I guess some of you don't know that Nick and I are friends from way back before there was such a thing as E-Town.
Oh, long before that, yeah.
We played in a band together in the 70s in Denver.
That's right.
Rolling in, the
my best friend. This train is rolling down the wrong track again. Up in New York City, trying to be a star, walking around all on the streets, no one knows who you are, knows who you are. Saying you ain't got no gig, ain't got no gig. You ain't got no gig. If you send me a present, won't you make it a $2 rig? Howling at midnight, winter's rolling in. Feels like I've gone and lost my best friend, my best friend.
We're going to hang out and talk for a second, or I suspect it's going to be longer. Hey, I guess I hadn't realized that you were named after Jimmy Rogers. I think that's pretty cool that your dad was so you know, into that stuff. And as Dave was saying, you and he paid attention to a lot of that same, like Lightnin' Hopkins and Son House and Big Bill Brunzi and all that sort of country blues fingerstyle guitar thing. Where did you find that? Where'd you bump into that when you were a kid?
I had a friend in Lubbock. He was a teacher at Texas Tech, but he had been at NYU as a student and then a teacher in the time that folk foment happened.
Yeah.
So he had this gigantic collection of like Big Bill Brunzi, Big Joe Turner, all of those, but also Jimmy Rogers, Carter Family.
Oh, wow.
And then the new people, you know, the Queskin Jug Band and Dave Van Ronk, who I was particularly partial to. Jug band music and Elizabeth Cotton, the new Lost City Ramblers.
Yeah. No, that was the stuff. And it's amazing to think about that moment in time because it was this, you know, the folk boom. It wasn't just about rebelling. It wasn't just about saying everything that came before was stupid. It was actually about like, wow, that's really cool. I want to go a little deeper and find out where did they learn that and where did that come from?
All right. Bob Dylan was so true to Woody Guthrie and then so his own thing. He kind of condensed that all into one place.
And so when you got together with the Flatlanders, you had all pretty much had that same indoctrination, I suspect, you know, all those things.
We'd had our personal little different background. You know, like I was from the totally country and western thing. Joe was a little bit younger than me and had been more influenced by the Buddy Holly and the rock and roll. Mm-hmm. And Butch was even already very young. He was already writing songs that were as great as anybody, you know, when he was like 18, you know. But we converged on that stuff. And what happened was that by the three of us getting together, we all learned each other's repertoire, which expanded it exponentially. And plus, we always just, mainly, there was something about us that we just loved each other. We just had so much fun all the time. We just laughed all the time. And now all these years later, you know, it's like it totally withstood the test of everything. The great good fortune.
It's real music and it's real friendship, real connection. And so that's why you guys can get together now and make records and tour and play gigs, you know, whatever it is, 45 years later or something like that, right? Since the first time.
Right.
Yeah. So there was a thing that Jimmy did for an NPR show called This I Believe. And I'm going to quote you. You said, "I have come to believe the words of the Indian philosopher poet Shantideva. All the joy the world contains has come through wishing happiness for others. All the misery the world contains has come through wanting pleasure for oneself."
It's been proven over and over to me
that it's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, there's this old Tibetan saying that all the pleasures of the world are like drinking salty water. It never quite hits the spot. It never quenches it.
Yeah, I think it's so appropriate that you were in the Big Lebowski somehow. I just think that's just makes more sense all the time. Well, listen, we've got more music. It's fun hanging out as it always has been. Glad you're back here. Glad you're here with Dave and Toe, because really two of my favorite musicians and people. So it's cool to see you guys together. I never would have seen it coming, actually, but it makes perfect sense.
I know. It's a surprise. They keep on happening.
Yeah. Well, let's welcome back, if you would, Dave Alvin and Jimmy Dale Gilmore.
She done me wrong. I turned and I tossed and I tried to go to playing with a honky tonk beat.
Shaking my bed.
Honky tonk, all night long. Honky tonk, the same old song. Honky tonk, my money's all gone. Honky tonk, she done me wrong. Well, I toss and I turn. I couldn't go to sleep, cause the band kept a playing with the honky tonk beat. Take it, Jimmy.
Jimmy Dale Gilmore, Dave Alvin. There's more music coming up.
This portion of E-Town is made possible by Silk, the charter sponsor of Change the Course. The program was co-created with National Geographic to restore water in critically water-stressed ecosystems. You can learn more about Silk's commitment to the environment and to plant-based nutrition at silk.com. And by our diverse audience of NPR affiliates and community stations, plus college and commercial stations, as well as our international stations and podcast subscribers worldwide. Thank you for your continued support. You're listening to E-Town.
I'm Nick Forster. You're listening to E-Town. I want to say hello to our listeners who are hearing us on stations like WEVL Weevil in Memphis, Tennessee. It's a great station. On K-Rock, K-R-O-K, in Leesville, Louisiana. And on UMFM, the Faculty of Sound, up in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. As always, if you want more information about our guests this week, you want to see photos or videos of what's going on, all that stuff is on the web at etown.org. Meanwhile, please help me welcome back to the stage two hardworking creative machines, Jimmy Dale Gilmore and Dave Alvin.
Yeah.
Well, put your arms around me like a circle around the sun. I want you to love me, mama, like my easy rider done. If you don't believe I love you, look what a fool I've been. If you don't believe I'm singing, look what a hole I'm in. Stealing, stealing, pretty mama, don't you tell on me. 'Cause I'm stealing back to my same old used to be. Play some harmonica, Jimmy.
She's a married woman. Come up and see me sometime. You don't believe I'm sinking, look what a hole I'm in. You don't believe I'm in, look what a fool I've been. I'm stealing,
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 stealing.
Mama, won't you tell on me?
Well, I'm stealing back to my same old used to be.
Play it, Nick, play some blues. California, Dave Alvin. From Austin, Texas, Jimmy Dale Gilmore. We've got time for one more song. We're gonna get everybody out for one last number. I wanna thank all our guests who came out this week. I wanna thank, of course, from Austin, Jimmy Dale Gilmore. Thanks for coming up, our good friend, many years. Thanks to our award winner, Elaine Hamill, teaching girls woodworking skills that's really changing their lives in so many ways. Thanks to Dave Alvin from Downey, California, coming out and being a part of our world here this week. It's been a really cool journey just hanging out with these two for this week's show, and I'm glad you guys could participate in it. We've got one cool song left for you. I'm Nick Forster. Hope you can be with us next week right here in E-Town.
Love is but a song we sing. Fear's the way we die. You can make the mountains ring or make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing, you may not know why. Smile on your brother, everybody get together and try to love one another right now. Some us, yes, returns for us last. We are but a moment's sunlight fading in the grass. Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody, get together.
E-Town is produced by a donor-supported nonprofit organization with help from all of our fine staff and recorded live at E-Town Hall. Our website is etown.org, where you can comment on the show and find all kinds of information. You can also make an Achievement Award nomination there by going to our homepage and clicking on the button called Award. Other ways to reach us are through Twitter, our two Facebook pages, and the E-Town blog.
If you hear the song I sing, you will understand. You hold the key to love and fear, all in your trembling hand. Just one key unlocks them both, it's there at your command.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. Dave Alvin, Jimmy Dale Gilmore, Helen Forster, the E-Tones, engineers, volunteers. We'll see you next time.
This is a production of the E-Town Radio Network.